Welcome to Torat Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Initiative. My name is Marcy Stern, and today we will be studying Sefer Hosea Perek Bet. Last class, we learned the astounding story of how Hosea was told by Hashem to marry a zona. Why? Ki zano tizne ha'aretz me'acharei Hashem. Because the people were straying completely from Hashem. They were acting like prostitutes that go from man to man. Some want to say, like the Rambam, the Radak, Ibn Ezra, that this was a mareh b'chalom, that really it did not occur, but rather Hosea had this prophetic dream and told it over to the people. Others want to say that, yes, it actually did happen. It was so important of a message that it had to be as shocking as it could in order to have impact. Perek Aleph tells us that they had three children when he got married, each with a name that was more horrible than the one before. First, Yisrael, then Lo Ruhama, and the last, Vayomer Krashmo Lo Ami, call his name Lo Ami, not my nation, Va'anochi Lo Eheye Lochem, and I will not be for you. And as we said, perhaps the word Le Lokim is left off because it's too horrific to even say that Hashem won't be our God. What I'd like to do is start with Perek Beis, and I'm going to read with you Psukim Aleph through Gimel. And I want you to think about what's a little bit astounding in what I'm reading. V'haya mispar b'nei Yisrael k'chol hayam asher lo yimad v'lo yisafir. And the number of b'nei Yisrael will be like the sand of the sea that you cannot measure or count. And instead of your being lo ami, they will say about them, b'nei kel chai, they are the children of a living God. B'nei Yisrael before were worshiping idols. Idols are made out of etzim v'avanim, stone and wood. No life to them whatsoever. No meaning, no power. Now they are b'nei kel chai because they recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that has ultimate life. And then there will be a kibbutz galios between Yehuda and Yisrael, a gathering of exiles. The samula hemro shachad, and they will have a leader, Mashiach or Eliyahu Hanavi. Va'alu min ha'aretz, and they will come up out of the land of exile. Ki gadol yom Yisrael. What does that mean, Gadol Yom Yisrael? That the time they had spent in Galus, in exile, under the Goyim, has been too long already. And so now it's time to come up. Gadol Yom Yisrael. Yisrael means, in this case, the time they had been planted in Galus is over now. Imru la'achechem ami, say to your brothers, my nation, ulachotechem ruchama, and tell your sisters that there is rachamim. What a total reversal. It's almost like you feel, did I just hear correctly? A minute ago, it was so negative. A minute ago, they were the worst names you could imagine. And now, in a second, it seems almost that we are going to the opposite in the first three psukim in Perek Beis. I'd like to read with you a wonderful Rashi at the beginning of Perek Beis. It's the very first Rashi, where he brings three different reasons how perhaps we can understand this sudden shift between Aleph and Beis. Rabotenu Pirshu, he says in Pesachim, Chazal say, that Hirgish Hosea Batzmo Shachata Al Shamar Hechlifam Amad Ubikesha Lehem Rachamim. We had learned that Hosea had to take the zona even for a reason that had to do with him. Hashem had said to him, go get my nation to do tshuva. And he said, Hashem, they're your, what should I do? Hechlifam ba Uma Acheres. Go if you don't like them, if you're not happy with them, change them with anybody else. It's in your power. Hashem said, oh, really? If that's how you feel, go marry his own. I have children with her. See if you can just so flippantly cast her away. What seems to have happened, Gemara is telling us, is that Hosea, after Perek Aleph, realized that he sinned, and he stood, and he was Mavakesh Rachamim, he begged Hashem for mercy, and Perek Beis begins the way it does. In the Sifri, it says something different. Rebbe Omer, what was it? Yesh parshiot smuchot zo lazo urchakot zo mizo. Kerachok mizrach mimarav. There are different parshiot, there are different sections that are so different from one another that it's as if one is in the east and one is all the way in the west. And what is the example that is brought for that one? Our very Perek Aleph and Perek Beis. How can we understand how something can be as far as east to west, end of Perek Aleph to beginning of Perek Beis? And what we have here is that the Sifri brings a mashal of a king. And the king is angry at his wife, and he sends to a scribe to come and write a divorce, a get. Before the sofer gets even a chance to come, he makes peace with his wife. But then the king says, what am I going to do? This man is schlepping all the way here. He'll be wondering, why did I bring him for nothing? And so he said, Amar lo, ba uchtov la, sha'ani kofel la ktubata. Go and tell the sofer that I want him to write a new ksuba and double the ksuba. We all know that what is in a ksuba. It says what the husband will owe the wife should he divorce her. The king wants to show his wife that he loves her so much that he doubles the value of the ksuba, which means that he would never want to divorce her. So what happened between end of Aleph and Beis? Hashem decided not, and he doubles our ksuba with the beauty at the beginning of Perek Beis. And then the last thing Rashi says is, l'fip shuto, what happens? At the end of Perek Aleph, B'nai Yisrael atak is sinning. And they have to go into galus. And when they go into galus, they do tshuva. And because they go into galus and they do tshuva, now there is a beauty at the beginning of Perek Beis. Okay, so according to the first, what happened in between? Hosea is sorry for what he said and is mavakesh rachamim, begs for mercy. According to the next one, Hashem realizes he doesn't want to sever the relationship. And according to the third one, B'nai Yisrael do go into galus and do tshuva. What's interesting here is that in each one of these pshatim, a different being is central. According to the first one, Hosea is the central figure. He realizes it's a mistake and he davens. According to the Gemara, Hashem doubles the ksuba. And according to the pshat, B'nai Yisrael go into galus and have to do the tshuva. It's a lesson. There's something Rashi is saying here. We, B'nai Yisrael, must do the most we can to effect a long-lasting change. But know and be encouraged to know that Hashem is on our side and he is rooting for us and he wants to be double our ksuba. And know also that Hosea, who represents our leaders, are behind us, pushing us along, davening for us, being our mentors to help us get where we have to get. Okay, so now we started the Perek Beis on a beautiful note. We hope that the Perek's just going to continue swimmingly. But when we read Pasuk Dalet, we see it really isn't so. And what happens when you read Pasuk Dalet starts out, Imru la'achechem ami, Rivu be'imchem rivu. Fight with your mother, fight. Ki hi lo ishti, va'anochi lo isha. Fight with your mother. Tell her, she's not my wife, and I'm not her husband. Uh-oh, again a reversal? What's going on here? And the truth of the matter is, what's going on is that we're back to reality. The beauty, Nechama, is there to give us hope. But we have to know that that hope is nothing unless we put the hope into action. And so we're back now to sort of trying to understand this process that is going to be needed in order to get those beautiful dreams fulfilled. The main part of Perek Beis, Psukim Dalet through Tet Zayin, a long section, is Hosea as the representative of Hashem. He is the representative of the jilted husband, and he is going to relate Hashem's story to us in the words of this Hashem, but meaning also the husband. And he uses imagery and dialogue. He's going to flesh out the saga of the unfaithfulness of Bnei Yisrael and the subsequent call for punishment, the galus, that's needed in order to inspire the tshuva so that we can have a restoration of our relationship. But all the time, Hosea uses the intricate imagery of the zona that was introduced in Perek Aleph. Okay? Now, we read a little bit of Pasuk Dalet, and it's interesting in these psukim how much of the story he relates again in the terms of a zona. Perek Dalet says, she's not my wife. I'm not her husband. Tell her. V'tasar's nuneha mipaneha. Let her get rid of her her znus, her immorality, from her face. V'niafufeha mibein shadeha, and her immorality from between her breasts. He tells his sons to tell her to remove her harlotry, get rid of all the makeup from her face, get rid of the perfume that she's using to entice her lovers, that she dabs between her breasts. How much she works to turn away from her husband and get what she thinks will be so much better in the arms of her lovers. The jilted husband tells us what she's thinking. In Pasuk Zayin, she says, Elcha achrei ma'ahavai, I want to go after my lovers. No, nei lachmi, those that give me my bread, my water, tzamri ufishti, my wool and my flax to make clothing, shamni v'shikuyai, my drinks and my oils. The other men, the nations, the sun, the stars, all those that supply what she thinks are her good things, she's calling them ma'ahavai, they are my lovers. That term should be used in when we're discussing Hashem. Yirmiyahu said in Perek Beis, Zacharti lach chesed nu'urayach, I remember the good you did, Bnei Yisrael, when we were in the Midbar. I remember ahavat klulotayach, I remember the love when we were joined together at Har Sinai. And then she uses that word when she discusses that which she gets from others, the kafui tov, how ungrateful. But she thinks the all good comes elsewhere. He tells us how he tried so hard to keep her from her lover. Just the pasuk. Hineni sach etar keich basirim. He put all sorts of thorns around the house. V'gadartiyak deira, and fenced in everything so she wouldn't be able to get out. He tried to close off the path to safeguard her. But all these safeguards she wasn't interested in. V'ritfa et ma'ahaveha, she runs after her lovers. And he tells us his frustration when he sees this happening, right? V'hi lo yad'a ki anochi natati lahadagan v'atirosh v'hadiyitzari. She doesn't know that I gave her all the grain and the wine and the oil. V'chesef her beisila, and I gave her all this gold and silver. The Zahav Asula Baal. And then she goes and takes it and gives it to Baal. Baal is an Avodah Zarah. And this is one time of just a few where the nimshal, the meaning, pops through the mashal, through the parable. Baal is an Avodah Zarah. But there's a play on words here, which we'll see later as well, because Baal also means husband. Okay, so she takes all this good that she really got from her husband, and she uses it to entice her lovers. And Hashem says, what? Then she says she's getting him from them? He tells us how what he does to deal with this issue. What does he do to deal with this issue? He starts to take away. He says, you know, enough. I don't have to give her gold and silver anymore and fancy clothes. Let her get it from somewhere else. And he describes how he takes away from her all that, this kesev and zahav. And it leaves her naked. Yud beis. Va'ata agale et anavluta le'enei ma'ahaveha. She'll be left naked, exposed in front of these lovers. And what will they then do? They abandon her. And she is left alone. He tells her how alone and bereft she is until finally, what will she say? What does it say? Va'amra pasuk tet elcha va'ashuva el ishi harishon ki tov li az me'ata. I want to return to my first husband because that was better than what I have now. Finally, in pasuk tet zayin, we have a really quite a beautiful pasuk where Hashem says, Lachain, and so, Hine anochi mifateha. I will go and I will try to seduce her. I will try to convince her to come with me. Vaholachtiha hamidbar. And I'll bring her into the midbar, or I'll take her to Galus. Vidibarti aliba. And there in Galus, she will experience what she experienced, and I will speak to her and try to get her to do tshuva. And when she responds, then Hashem, in the rest of the parak, tells us all the good that will happen because she has returned. So really what we've had so far is really an explanation of what happened between the end of Perek Aleph and the beginning of Perek Beis. She had to go to Galus. There, she remembers God, finds Hashem, and he will return. Hashem is part of the process. Hashem wants to double up her ksuba. Hashem is there trying to seek her out, trying to help her along the way. Hosea is speaking and telling them about all of this, but yet she is the one who's going to have to make that return. When she does, we have some beautiful psukim at the end of Perek Beis, some that really dovetail some of the most beautiful psukim in Yeshaya. I'll just do a few. I want to point out Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'natati la et krameha misham v'et emek achor lepetach tikva, that Hashem will bring her back to Eretz Yisrael. And the land that had been destroyed, and the valleys, Emek Achor, that had been sullied and destroyed, I will return to them vineyards, and these valleys will now be a petach tikva, gates of hope. That which was past is gone, and it will once again be kiyom alotam me'eretz Mitzrayim, that simcha of as it was when they left Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yod Chet, v'haya b'yom ahunu m'Hashem, this is almost like a climax. Tikra'i ishi, you will call me husband. V'lo tikra'i li od bali, you will not call me master. Again, a play of words on that ba'al, the avodah zarah. And then he wants to say, he brings psukim, that dovetail Yeshaya, that the animals will live in peace and harmony, and there will be a menucha in the land, just as in Yeshayahu it says, "V'gorzeiv im keves." There will be no more weapons. V'keshet v'cherev mechama eshbor. all the weaponry will be destroyed, just as it said in Yeshayah, v'chitatu charvotam le'itim, that Hashem will beat their swords into itim. And then we get to, I think, probably other than Perek Yudalid Hoshea, but it's probably the most well-known pasuk, pasuk chaf aleph and chaf beis, ve'erastich li le'olam, ve'erastich li betzedek, uva mishpat, uva chesed, uva rachamim, and I will betroth you to me forever. Ve'erastich li betzedek, uva mishpat, bechesed, berachamim, I will betroth myself to you with righteousness. The chesed of rachamim with mercy and kindness, they rastichli be'emuna, and I will betroth myself to thee in faithfulness v'yadat et Hashem, and you will know Hashem. Hashem is restoring that love bond at Har Sinai, that original time we stood together when we got the Torah. It is restored, not to be torn asunder again. Why are these so famous? Well, men say this pasuk whenever they put on their tefillin. There are three ties, erastich le'olam, erastich li, ve'erastich li. And three times when they put on their tefillin, they wrap it around their middle finger. Once, ve'erastich li le'olam. Twice, ve'erastich li betzedek v'mishpat v'chesed v'rachamim. Third time, ve'erastich li be'emunah. It's almost like a physically making a ring of which represents the love between the wife and the husband, between Bnei Yisrael and Hashem. And the Radak wants to point out that it says it three times. Why? Because they represent three exiles and how each of these exiles is going to be perfected. Once was after Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, right? Even when we were in Mitzrayim and he took us out, but that didn't last forever. This one will last forever. Galus Bavel, when we went out of the Babylonian exile, Bnei Yisrael got themselves into trouble. They married not Jewish women. They were Mechalel Shabbos. And then that didn't last forever. The second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Now he's saying Galus Roma, that's the one we're in now. He says, now this one will be forever. When we have a Bayis Shlishi, this lasts forever, he says. After that, we have this love bond that's established. Vayaba Yomahu, he goes on in the last psukim to say that Hashem will shower down brachos onto the land. And there will be Dagon and Tirosh and Yitzhar, and there will be grain and oil and wine that will be showered down upon us. Because in Shema we say that V'chara av Hashem b'chem, God gets angry when we don't keep the Torah, and he takes away the geshem. He takes away the rain. And then there's no rain, then nothing grows on the earth, and then there is no produce. That will not be here. The sky will shower down, and that will satiate the ground, and then everything will grow. And then Emek Yisrael, all of this, Vehemia Anu at Yisrael, they will answer, bestow all the fruitfulness on Yisrael. Uzrati Hali Ba'aretz Pasuk Chavchet, and I will plant you in Eretz Yisrael. Yisrael will not be planted in Galus, but planted in Eretz Yisrael. V'richamti et lo ruchama, and I will have mercy on lo ruchama. V'amarti lelo ami amiata. See, total reversal of the end of Perek Aleph to the end of Perek Bais. But notice the last few words. V'amarti lelo ami amiata ve'hu yomar elokai. Do you remember how at the end of Perek Aleph we said that that word Elohim was missing? We said that it was too horrific to say that Hashem would, Anochi lo ehaya lachem. We didn't want to use Elohim because it was horrible to think we wouldn't have Hashem. By the time we reached the end of Perek Beis, Hashem is there. We recognize Hashem as our God, and He recognizes that He is our God, He is our husband, the relationship is restored. I would thank you so much for learning with me. And I would like to thank you for learning Le'iloi Nishmas, Rivka Schwab, Rivka Bas Alexander Center.